Blog Talk Radio.
Word, biblios, many books, taken through the ages, ageless, timeless, prophets, apostles, epistles, the gospel, the righteous, the hostile, the woeful, the wonderful.
On the Sabbath days or on Sundays, it's easy to find me. It's most likely up in your churches where I might be. It's millions over this earth who would tell you that they like me. But realistically, half of them take what I say lightly.
Yo, they just push me off the table like they don't need me. Look me in my face like they don't see me.
What?
Granny's off the church and she won't leave me. Then she comes home from church, but she won't read
my name, King James Version. Born in 1611, I was made to teach brethren how to reach the kingdom of heaven. I might not be saying the same thing as your reverend, but quote what was wrote, but it ain't the way it's living.
You probably catch me at your grandma's house, opening Psalms. I was like your grandpa's spouse over in Arm. You catch me in a small jailhouse over in Guam. I speak about the hotel from nowhere to come.
Now travel through my pages, learn about the ancients. Life and death is in me, but some don't wanna hear me. Misuse me to conquer many lands. Many men have been slaves for who I am, the saints. Blood on their hands.
Governments attempted to get rid of me and still trying. Society refused to listen to me and still dying. I give counsel to disciples on his field grind to remind them that the place they want to be is still trying.
Yo, I'm a bookshelf missionary. I could school the school books plus Dr. Seuss in the dictionary. What's written is power. I'm sitting in the parlor. I'm the only book closed, but I open at any hour.
It's always a nappy head kid with a gold tooth with his hand on my head saying he swear to tell the whole truth.
Yo, dude, they got me on a show called Dusty. Living godly is a must, but don't nobody trust me.
I teach about the old trails, mortars the bomb, seven plagues, seven seals, vultures the swarm, rage in the field, soldiers, storms, the comings, the horns, you've been warned.
A lot of preachers want me on their team just to make a profit, when all I want to do is give you words of the sacred prophets, so my creators can see believers making progress. I warn them of the dangers and loving material objects.
Open me up, pray to the God of all men, the God of Jacob, Isaac, the God of Abraham. May he open up his plan, why he came as a man. God 12 and spread his truth to every nation through the land.
Yo, we kicked it, you was once sober, but you won't show my name, cause when your friends came, you keep turning my front over. What's this on my back? Use me as a cup coaster. Come closer, let me do my job like I'm supposed
Yo,
to.
Yo, bro, it's 66 books in me, good and plenty. But up north, they rip out pages to puff Cincy. But the saints study intensely, cause there's riches in me. But to the wicked, I ain't worth
And you can run around wildin', looking in the sky. Or you can read me, choose life or die. Who's right but I, man, a tooth for an eye. The water's broke loose, now the fire's gonna fry.
I'm the Bible.
I'm the Bible. I hold the keys to survival. I'm here to strengthen God's saints and the water's vital.
I'm the Bible.
I'm the Bible. I'm telling you, stop serving these idols. Ain't no other God, the Lord holding that title.
I'm the Bible.
I'm the Bible. Original holy scrolls, comfort lonely souls with the oracles of the moral code.
I'm the Bible.
I'm the Bible. I'm trying to save many men, but any who pretend his kingdom, they won't be getting them. I'm the number one selling book of all time. I done made billions, but if the people don't understand, I ain't happy. So come get with me, sit with me, and I'ma show you mysteries.
Shalom, 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 shalom. Baba Kwatawa, which means good morning in the ancient Paleo Hebrew. I'm your host for this morning, your brother, your friend, as always, Pastor Pye. And welcome to the show, y'all. Welcome to Sword of Truth, sponsored by ISBHPK, Bible Talk. I want to send shouts out to all our brother schools across the nation. Brothers up there in Rochester, resident VA, H-Town, brothers here in San Antonio, Cabo Cabo down in Guatemala, man. Shouts out to those brothers. Everybody is healthy. Hope everybody had a good weekend, a good Sabbath. I'm sorry, y'all. I was trying to eat on a little something before we started the show. So, man, I don't don't know if y'all know, well, everybody should know this by now. If you haven't, just check your news and media outlets. Things of that sort. What was it, yesterday or was it Sunday? That the sister from Star Trek died, man. Was that yesterday? Might have been the day before yesterday. So she died. I forget the sister's name, but she played Uhura on Star Trek, y'all. And if you're unfamiliar with the word Uhura, it actually means freedom in Swahili. But this sister was a pioneer for black folks, black women in particular, as far as film goes in industry. What was the sister name?
Her actual name, Nichelle Nichols.
Nichelle Nichols. Sister was fine too, y'all. And I am a Star Trekkie, man. I'm a Trekkie, so I watched it quite often. But I heard an interview that she did. Matter of fact, before I get that, let's get this. Wait a minute. Why even dive into that? Let's get this. This is Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9. After this manner, therefore pray ye, thy Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So we're supposed to be praying, man, for Yahushua, who the world knows Jesus Christ, for his kingdom to come so we can get the hell on up out of here, man. This place, like the scripture says, is polluted. And we're here, and we're getting polluted on the daily, man. So we definitely need to get the hell up out of here. Let's get Psalm chapter 118 and verse 24 also. If you're just tuning into the show, man, these are the main scriptures I always open up with, man, just to get us in the right mind frame of things as far as it pertains to news and current events and just daily life, man, whatever you're going through, whatever you might be battling, just to get our minds towards that. Read that.
Psalm 118:24. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it.
So good or bad, happy or sad, man, whatever you're going through, all praise to the Most High, man. He brings you to it. He's going to bring you through it. The Most High will give you those experiences for you to learn. And the things that we go through, man, after you come out of them and you reason within yourself and you go back and relive the experience mentally, you'll see that what you went through wasn't even for you. It was for somebody else who's going to go through the same thing and for you to help them out, man. This is how you increase in wisdom, and this is what increases your faith. The things that the Most High takes you through, the events that he takes you through, the trials and tribulations that he takes you through, like I said, it'll make you stronger. You come out on the other side of it stronger than you were before spiritually. I'm sorry, too, y'all. Also, I'm joined again by my wife, Hasadiah, in the building. So that's whose voice y'all hear. She's going to be my reader for the day. Now, what was I saying? I was talking about Star Trek sister. So let's get this. Let me find it real quick. Oh, excuse me. And I just hit Mashaba up, y'all. I know a lot of y'all were used to getting the what's it called? The link for the show. Yeah. Mashaba hasn't sent it to me yet. I guess he's busy. He forgot to send it out this morning. I apologize, y'all. Wait a minute. Let me see if this is it. Wait a minute, y'all. Hold on for a second. I'm looking for the link to the show, y'all, so I can send it out. I don't see it. All right. Oh, there it is right there. The Water Mashaba. Send this out real quick, y'all. Yep. All right, where I want to go? So let's get Deuteronomy chapter 14 and verse 2. Just to touch on the sister being a pioneer. Yeah, read that for me.
Deuteronomy 14 and 2. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God.
So the Most High said that we were a holy people. The word holy means true. Read.
And the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto.
The Most High chose us to be a peculiar. Peculiar means special or unique, man. And when you look at our people, we are very special. We're very unique. And we always say it too, man, God-given gifts that the Most High has blessed us with. This is why you read about sisters or Israelites like this sister that were pioneers in their field, they're great entertainers, great athletes, so on and so forth. This is why, because the Most High said what? Read it again.
For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people.
A peculiar, a special people. So our attributes, our special gifts, we share with the world, but the Most High said, we're a peculiar people, read.
Unto himself.
Unto him. Unto him. We're supposed to be exhibiting and giving our all to the Most High. Not to the world, not to these other people, not to these other nations, and wanting to get praise and the attaboy and pats on the back for what we do in their arenas. The Most High made us to be peculiar or special or unique to him. We're supposed to be praising him with the gifts that he's given us, not the world, not the nation. Read.
Above all the nations.
Because he said we're above them, but we lower our standards. We go so far as to sell ourselves out, as to sell our souls to be a part of their establishments. And I'm talking about the Boule, because she was more than likely part of it, which is the black version of the satanic cults, you name one, the Illuminati, the Masons, I mean, all of them. She was definitely involved in it. How else could she get the roles that she got? And I heard an interview that she was doing, and she was talking about, and of course they brought it up because that's in this day and age. They was talking about how she set the tone for interracial relations on the screen, saying that, and I think, I got to do some research, but I think that was the first interracial kiss on the big screen, and they were praising her for that. And they interviewed her, and she was like, you know, that was nothing for me. That was no different than grandma kissing grandpa because grandpa was white. Oh, she had some grandparents or somebody in her family that was an Edomite that was white. So she was saying that was nothing new for her. So she was already familiar with the inclusion, the mixing, which the Most High told us not to do in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 1 and 2. But she was a part of that establishment. And interestingly enough, Bill Russell passed also the same day. And I watched a little interview that his daughter did. I forgot. I think it was ESPN. And in case y'all aren't familiar with who Bill Russell is, he played for the Celtics for X amount of years, but he was a bad brother, man. He had 11 rings, 11 championship rings. And once again, man, the Most High blessed us with such athletic and talented attributes, man. It's, Esau be scratching their head trying to figure out how we do the things that we do. They're so amazed by it that they want to emulate it. This is why you got our quote-unquote black culture all throughout society now as far as TikTok, Facebook, or any social media outlets. They're using our language, our speak, our sayings, trying to dent. But it's always been like that, man. The Most High said this. Give me Psalms 83 or 82. Let's get those mixed up.
Keep notes. Bow silence.
It's 80. Where you at? 83? Mm-hmm. 82.
God standard.
That's it.
82 and 1?
Mm-hmm.
Psalm 82 and 1.
Mm-hmm.
God standeth in the congregation of the mighty.
He said he stands in the congregation. The word congregation is where you get the word church from. That's the root word for church, which means a gathering of people. Well, the only people that have ever gathered under the God of the Bible is the Israelites. So when you see the word church in the New Testament, and even tells you in countless scriptures in the New Testament, that the Israelites are the church. So this is who it's talking about right here in this scripture. Read that again from the top.
God standeth in the congregation of the mighty.
The Most High stands in the congregation. Man, let me try to say it again. He stands in the congregation. The congregation, once again, is the Israelites. We're the mighty. Read.
He judges among the gods.
He judges among who?
The gods.
What does the Most High call the Israelites?
The gods.
He calls us the gods. Read.
How long will you judge unjustly?
But this is the problem he had with us as gods. And when you see this word God, it don't mean like we got powers like the Most High or we're like demigods or anything of that nature. But it's talking about authority. It's talking about having the authority. If you have the authority over your household, then guess what? You're the God of your household. So the Most High said that he gave us authority to do what?
Judge unjustly.
He gave us authority to judge, but not unjustly. But this was the problem he had with us because we have authority or had authority, we were judging unjustly. So this is the problem that he had with us. Read.
And accept the persons of the wicked.
And we were respecters of persons, as we still are, man. A lot of this still goes on in Israel. Because of what you can do for me or how I benefit from you, I'm going to turn a blind eye to the things you do that's wicked. So this is going on even back then. There's nothing new under the sun. Read on.
Selah. Defend the poor and fatherless.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is what we're supposed to be doing, which is what we're still supposed to be doing, is defending the poor and the fatherless, the Wadamashaba, brother. Because you know what I'm talking about. A little inside there right there. Read.
Do justice to the afflicted and needy.
He said, do justice to the afflicted and the needy. It's what we're supposed to be doing as Israelites, as brothers and sisters. We use that term too loosely at times. Read.
Deliver the poor and needy.
Read.
Rid them out of the hand of the wicked.
Read.
They know not, neither will they understand.
He said, we don't know and we don't understand. We're making a lot of errors. Read.
They walk on in darkness.
And because we don't know, we walk on in darkness. Because remember, Yahweh Shai said that he was the light, right? So we're walking on in darkness, and we don't have the words of Yahweh Shai. We don't have the temperament of Yahweh Shai. We don't have the personality of Yahweh Shai, who the world calls Jesus Christ. Read.
All the foundations of the earth are out of course.
And this is why the earth is jacked up now, because we're jacked up. Read.
I have said, ye are gods.
And this is the part I wanted to get to. Read that part again.
I have said, ye are gods.
What did Most High say about the Israelites?
Ye are gods.
He said that we are gods, man. This is how you look. You look at a brother like Bill Russell and like, damn, this dude won 11 championship rings. You look at brothers like LeBron. This dude is almost 40. Still got, like, he got springs in his ankles, like he's 20 years old, still playing at a high level. You look at people like the Kobe's, the LeBron's, the Steph Curry's, Steph shooting. He's changed the NBA. All the boxers like Tyson and Muhammad Ali. And I'm old school, y'all. And I don't really watch boxing that much. And all, including the UFC fighters, man, the stuff that they're able to do. This is why the Most High said what? Read it again.
I have said, ye are gods.
This is why. Because this, we were, and go back to Genesis 1:26, we were made in the Most High's image. He made us to be unique, to be peculiar. We just read it in Deuteronomy. This is why we set all the trends of the world, and the rest of the world just follow. They follow what we're doing. They're not, ain't nobody trying to be damn Japanese and Taiwanese and all that. All those people are trying to be us, because we are truly, the, like Christ said, the salt of the earth. Let's get that in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13. Hold up, matter of fact, finish reading this.
I have said, ye are gods.
Read.
And all of you are children of the Most High.
You see that? All the Israelites are children of the Most High. Read.
But ye shall die like men.
But what?
Ye shall die like men.
Nah, but don't get too prideful. Don't think you above getting checked by the Most High. Ye shall die like men. And you notice these athletes, when they start getting prideful as hell, the Most High will cut them down. Kobe Bryant, prime example. The Most High will cut them down. Hell, the football player right now just got caught up on some sexual misconduct allegations. They been suspended for like 6 games or something. You think you hot stuff? You basking in the fact that the Most High created you in his image? Because you can do the things that you do? Well, the Most High said you're going to die like a man. The Most High is going to bring you down. Because he said that pride was not made for men. Let's get Matthew chapter 5, verse 13.
Matthew 5 and 13. Ye are the salt of the earth.
What did Christ say?
Ye are the salt of the earth.
He said, we the salt of the earth. Y'all try eating some food that ain't got no salt in it. Try, matter of fact, try eating some meat. throw you some chicken thighs on the grill. And don't put no salt on it. You got all the other seasonings, but you ain't got no salt. Man, it's going to be the blandest tasting meat. That meat going to be disgusting. I don't care how much barbecue sauce you put on it. It just ain't going to taste right. And you might be able to get away with not putting salt on other foods, but you definitely got to put some salt on meat. That is a must. That's mandatory. So what is Christ saying right here? Read this.
Ye are the salt of the earth.
He said we the salt, which means we give the earth what? Flavor. We give the earth taste. If we were not a part of the earth would just be boring. The earth would be bland. The earth would have no flavor. I mean, I don't know how else to put it. The earth would be just square. the earth would be one big L7. It'd be nothing fun about it. It'd be no trends. It'd be nothing trendy going on. It'd be no pop culture going on if we weren't here. So Yahweh Shai said, we are the salt of the earth. But remember, the Most High salted us to do what? To praise him, to worship him. He gave us all these physical attributes to worship and praise him, not the world. Read.
But if the salt have lost its savor.
And this is how we lose our savor. We start assimilating. We start giving ourselves to these other people who don't appreciate us. All they want to do is make merchandise of us. All they want to do is use us and spit us out. That's all they want to do. We tear our bodies up. LeBron, Kobe, Bill Russell, all them basketball players, knees gone. Football players, bodies gone, toe up, concussions. They had all them damn concussions on the football field. Tearing our bodies up. For what? A damn trophy? For a trophy, which is an idol. And the Most High told us what? We shall make no graven images nor worship them. That's idolatry. What, hell, why are we in this captivity in right now? Idolatry. And we still doing it. So Yahweh Shai said, if the salt has lost his savor, if we've lost our flavor because we've given it away, like it says in Ezekiel, that it says that, man, it said even a whore gets paid. It said, but we give our love away for free. And I'm paraphrasing. The Most High said we'd be whoring for free. We wouldn't even get paid. This is how we've lost our savor. Read.
Wherewith shall it be salted?
So how are we going to have any flavor now? How are we going to have any more flavor? We even gave it all away. And then turn our backs on the person or the entity, the creator, that gave it to us. It's like they say, a lot of brothers and sisters, they assimilate and they go and be around Edomites and other nations, and now they can't even be black no more. The black race that disown you. It's like that movie, Soldier Story, when the old brother was talking with the southern accent. Black race can't afford you no more. Oh. It used to be a time you was good. Yes, sir, Boston. You know, homie kind of nigga. They needed somebody to parade. They paraded you. The day of the Geechee is gone, boy. And you going with it. I wish we had this sound bite. That's what Christ is saying. Man, Israel can't afford you no more, nigga. You sold, like the scripture said, you sold yourself for naught. And the reason I'm going so hard at this, man, is so our people can understand that those gifts that the Most High blessed us with was for him. And we shouldn't be hoeing ourselves out to these nations for nothing. For zilch. And go back to Bill Russell in the interview I caught with his daughter. He said that when he die and go to heaven, he said that would be a step down for him. This is what his daughter said. He said it would be a step down for him because playing with the Celtics, he was already in heaven. I heard that. I'm like, nigga, what? Nigga, what? You putting a rubber ball, leather ball in the rim, and you on the floor with four other men? Sweaty men, that's heaven for you? I could kind of be like, okay, I see how he could put that together. If he was talking about being around five women and they were sweating, but not on a basketball court, y'all fill in the blank. I could see, oh, okay, I could see where he get that from. That still ain't heaven, but I could understand. But he called heaven being around four other sweaty men on a wood court, running up and down, putting the balls through a hoop. He called it heaven? people's mind is gone. Anyway, man, moving on. Let me get off that topic. Let's get this one. Let me turn this around so you can pull it up. How's about it? So get this one first. We're going to jump to another article, too. It's already up. So y'all probably been hearing about this, and it's spread nationwide. So read that and give them the source.
From NPR, critics say monkeypox is a racist name.
They said monkeypox is a racist name. Them even saying that is racist on the real. And I say it is because when they said monkeypox, they didn't say black pox. They didn't say Native American pox or Hispanic pox. Monkeypox. So what they're telling us indirectly is monkey is synonymous with niggas. That's what they're telling us. So this, like I said, this statement is racist within itself. Read it again.
Critics say monkeypox is a racist name, but it's not going away anytime soon.
Monkeypox ain't going away. Read on.
Nearly 7 weeks after the World Health Organization.
I want you to stop at the second paragraph. Go ahead.
Nearly 7 weeks after the World Health Organization said it will change the name of monkeypox disease, agreeing with scientists who called it discriminatory and stigmatizing.
Man, Edomites are stupid. Like a name is going to lessen the blow from the actual virus. They did the same thing with coronavirus. Then they start calling it COVID.
Yeah.
Read on.
The controversial label doesn't seem to be going anywhere.
Even when they changed the name from coronavirus to COVID, they didn't like it. It killed less people.
It was the Chinese virus.
Remember? Oh, yeah, it was the Chinese virus, the Wuhan virus. Then it was coronavirus, then COVID-19 or COVID-19. Come on, man. Just because you changed the name or something don't make it any different. It's still going be what it is. It's like if her stripper name is Chocolate Thunder, but you met her at the club and now y'all girlfriend boyfriend, but she still worked there. She's still a stripper, even though you might call her. You think of a good one. Even though you might call her Susan, you might call her, your name. What?
Brenda.
You might call her Brenda. But even with her name being Brenda to you and Chocolate Thunder at the script club, she's still a what? She's still a stripper. He's all stupid, man. Anyway, read on.
Critics say the name monkeypox plays into racist stereotypes about black people, Africa, and the LGBTQ people.
You see how they slid that in there?
Like that was a race.
They tried it, right?
Like that's a race.
Man, they slid that in there like it's a whole race. Like the letter people is a whole race of people. And not only that, it's like, they trying to say that people go around talking about faggots and dykes, referring to them as monkey. Oh, that little gay monkey. That little gay. That little gay dyke. Gay dyke monkey. What they call the little monkeys? You know the one they had on Indiana Jones with the little orita dude.
Chimp.
Dyke chimps. Chimp dyke. They really reached with that one, man. Read that again. This is funny, man.
Critics say the name monkeypox plays into racist stereotypes about black people, Africa, and LGBTQ people. And they note it falsely suggests monkeys are the main source of the virus.
Man, this is a tragic comedy, man. It ain't even tragic. It's just funny, man. It's comedy. Esau is finest. And so let me show y'all why they threw the letter people in there in the first place. Let's see if it's that one. No, it ain't that one. It was from AP. Hold on, y'all. Let me find this one. This one right here. So let me show y'all why they threw the letter people in there. Because, first and foremost, they want the letter people to feel like victims. And they want public perception of those people to feel like, hey, those people have been victimized. And we should not victimize these people anymore. We shouldn't oppress these people anymore. That's why they threw them in there in the first place. And then let me get y'all this in case y'all didn't know this. Read this.
From the Associated Press, California governor declares monkeypox state of emergency.
Now, why is the California governor declaring monkeypox as a state of emergency? Because what is the gay hub of the globe, of the whole planet? Where is more faggots and dykes than you can think of in the world? Where they at, y'all? Besides Atlanta, because Atlanta's coming in as a close second. But what is the gay capital of the earth? San Francisco. This is why the governor of California has declared a state of emergency, because those faggots and dykes in California is getting the monkeypox, y'all. Because I don't know if we brought it out last Tuesday, but the monkeypox is predominantly affecting the gay and letter people community. It's affecting them. Just like AIDS, HIV, when it first came out, don't worry, it's going to trickle down to heterosexual because people are being nasty on the down low and all that stuff. But anyway, read on.
Sacramento, California, Associated Press. California's governor on Monday declared a state of emergency to speed efforts to combat the monkeypox outbreak, becoming the second state in 3 days to take the step. Governor Gavin Newsom said the declaration will help California coordinate a government-wide response.
And I said the second state, because other states declared the monkeypox state of emergency also. We're going to get to those states in a minute, right?
Seek more vaccines and lead outreach and education efforts on where people can get treatment and vaccination. We'll continue to work with the federal government to secure more vaccines, raise awareness about reducing risk, and stand with the LGBTQ community fighting stigmatization.
Fighting what?
Stigmatization.
What stigmatization? They're saying that the monkeypox is synonymous with their ass. That's what they're saying. And they don't want people shying away from them, saying, ooh, let me get away from you because you got the monkeypox. The Most High has a great sense of humor, man. Here they are trying to victimize these people and make them feel like they're the victims, and they trying to put all this media stuff out in the public, tell y'all what to think, so y'all can feel sorry for these people because they're victims, and now the Most High got them being the villain. I won't be around them, faggots. Get away from me. You got that stuff. You got the monkeypox stuff. you got that chimpanzee disease. You got the ape disease, the big ape. You got the big ape. Keep reading.
Newsom said in a statement announcing his declaration, nearly 800 cases of monkeypox have been reported in California.
Nearly 800. That's just beginning. And I bet they fudging the numbers. I bet it's more than that. Because they probably got, matter of fact, all 800 cases, I bet you, is in San Francisco. Nasty, just nasty, man. Running around smelling like booty, all of them. Read on.
According to state public health officials, The monkeypox virus spreads through prolonged and close skin-to-skin contact, which can include hugging, cuddling, and kissing, as well as through the sharing of bedding, towels, and clothing.
Wow. Wow. Ain't that something? Read on.
People getting sick so far have mainly been men who have sex with men.
Duh. But they said they don't want to stigmatize the letter people. There ain't no damn stigmatism. That's the truth. The truth is the truth, man. They the ones spreading this mess and being nasty.
Though health officials note that the virus can infect anyone.
Now, it's interesting, too. I was listening to this article, man. I should have pulled it up on NPR, like, last week. And they was talking about that this monkeypox thing ain't new. They found the case of monkeypox back in 2017 somewhere in Africa. And this doctor was talking about, he basically was trying to let everybody know what was going on. They originally found it in kids. And, yes, you do get it from monkeys, but you get it from insects also. So this kid had got bit or something. He came in contact with an animal or insect or something. And he had contracted the virus. And a lot of kids in his village was getting it. And they had gave them vaccinations and whatever. And then they noticed that kids weren't just getting it no more, that adults were getting it. And in particular, adult men, but adult gay men were getting it. This is way back in 2017. Don't take my word for it, y'all. Go back and do your own research. And he tried to alert the WHO or whoever them people is, the World Health Organization, he tried to alert them back then, and they dismissed his findings. But now he's coming out and telling them, hey, I told y'all back in 2017. Did you find?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Read some of it.
The doctor's name, his last name is Ogoina. When Ogoina first diagnosed the young boy with monkeypox in 2017, Ogoina thought the virus would act the way it has for more than 50 years in other parts of Africa, the way that scientists described in textbooks. That is, outbreaks typically begin when a person comes into contact with an infected animal. There was speculation that this young boy played with monkeys around the community, Ogoina says. But in such instances, the virus didn't spread very easily between people, because it was not very contagious, especially between adults.
So back then it wasn't very contagious, especially between adults, but we're going to find out it mutated. Read.
In the past, monkeypox affected mainly children, Ogoina says. As a result, previous outbreaks of monkeypox have been small. They often involved only a few dozen cases, and they petered out on their own. Ogoina and other doctors thought the outbreak in 2017 would be the same. We thought, okay, this is the regular monkeypox that we know. But a few weeks after diagnosing the young boy, Ogoina started to become concerned, quite concerned. The outbreak in Nigeria began to grow rapidly. Cases cropped up in counties, not just near this one boy, but all over. Suddenly, we were seeing cases appear across the country.
Mm.
The virus seemed to be spreading further and faster than expected, and it wasn't infecting kids, but rather men in their 20s and 30s.
Mm.
Young, active men were getting monkeypox, Ogoina says. It was very unusual at that time. These men also didn't fit the typical profile for monkeypox patients. They weren't hunting or handling animals, but instead were middle-class men living in busy modern cities. Ogoina wondered, why isn't it affecting children or females or the elderly?
Mm, why? He wondered this. He was scratching his head. Why ain't it affecting these people? He's scratching his head. Because remember, it was affecting young men, right? Read.
Why are we seeing only young men ages 20 to 40? In fact, Ogoina and his colleague eventually figured out that the young boy didn't even catch the virus from an animal, but rather from a male relative in his household.
Whoa! Read on.
And the rashes that affected these patients weren't in the typical places where monkeypox struck. Instead of being on their face and extremities, the blisters occurred around their genitals. They had very extensive genital lesions, very, very extensive, Ogoina says. Aguina and his colleagues started to investigate these patterns, these patients further. We decided to do a sexual history assessment of some of the cases, he says. That assessment found that many of the patients had high-risk sexual behaviors, including multiple partners and sex with prostitutes. So there was a huge realization. The virus had changed. For the first time, it was spreading through sexual contact. Aguina and his colleagues even mentioned the idea in the study published in 2019. Although the role of sexual transmission of human monkeypox is not established, sexual transmission is plausible in some of these patients through close skin-to-skin contact during sexual intercourse or by transmission via genital secretions, Aguina and his colleagues wrote in the journal PLOS 1.
Kind. So that goes right along what we just read out of this article right here from AP. Let's go back here now.
Public health officials are clear stigma is unacceptable and counterproductive in public health response.
Y'all see that stigma? See, they still worried about the letter people, man. How about you being worried about the general public? But they're only considering these people. They don't want them villainized. But they are. They're the damn villains. The truth is the truth. Read.
Michelle Gibbons, executive director of the County Health Executives Association of California, said in a statement that monkeypox is primarily spread by skin-to-skin contact and sharing objects like bedding or towels without regard to sexual orientation or gender identity.
Oh, my goodness. Read on.
The type of monkeypox virus identified in this outbreak is rarely fatal, and people usually recover within weeks, but the lesions and blisters caused by the virus are painful, and they can prevent swallowing or bowel movements if in the throat or anus.
Ooh, sounds horrible.
The declaration in California came after a similar one in New York State on Saturday.
So Cali declared it, New York, or a bunch of other faggots. Read.
And in San Francisco on Thursday.
Bam, we finally get to San Francisco. Read.
Newsom's administration had said as recently as Friday that it was too soon for such a declaration.
Too soon, my ass. If 800 people got it, you right on time. So let's get Leviticus chapter 20, verse 13, man. This is why we have to pray the Our Father prayer on the daily, y'all, so we can get the hell out of here.
Leviticus 20 and 13. If a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman.
So what is this talking about, y'all? This is talking about homosexuality. So let's get this straight. If you run around talking about you're a Christian, you're a believer, you believe in the Bible. Matter of fact, if you say you believe in God, you believe in Christ, you have to believe those words, their words, which is the Bible. This is what the Bible's saying. Read it again from the top.
If a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman.
If you're a man and you lie down with another man like you would lay down with a woman.
Both of them have committed an abomination.
What is that?
An abomination.
An abomination is something Most High loathes. He hates it. He don't even want to see it. He calls it unseemly. You've committed an abomination. That goes directly against God. You can't claim you love God and you're a homosexual. You can't claim you're about God and you're a homosexual. You have a mental illness. Something's wrong with your mind, man. Read.
They shall surely be put to death.
What is the judgment for them?
They shall surely be put to death.
If they were going to die. Read.
Their blood shall be upon them.
Their what?
Their blood shall be upon them.
And AIDS, y'all remember AIDS, is a blood disease, a biological disease. This monkeypox stuff is what? A biological disease. And it goes right to the root of the problem, your genitals. You want to put them where they don't go. I hope y'all are seeing this, man. This is not just Todd Powell's opinion. This is the Bible. Oh, Todd Powell is homophobic. Well, guess what? The Most High, who you say you love, who you say you trust in, who you say you believe and have faith in, he's homophobic also. Let's get Romans chapter 1. In the New Testament. People be saying, oh, well, that's the way God dealt in the Old Testament, but he changed his mind. All people he say he loved. I don't know what book y'all read it, man. So start at verse 25.
Romans 1 and 25. Who changed the truth of God into a lie?
It was the truth of God. We just read it in Leviticus chapter 20, verse 13. They change the truth of God when they start saying what? God loves you no matter what. Come as you are. You can be a homosexual. You can be a gay pastor, a gay priest. You can be a dyke and lead your church. That's, y'all change the truth of God. We just read the judgment for homosexuality. Read it again.
Who changed the truth of God into a lie,
mm-hmm,
and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator?
Because you're worshiping yourself. You're the creature. Read.
Who is blessed forever. Amen.
Now listen to this. Read.
God gave them up unto vile affections.
So because they changed God's truth into a lie about homosexuality, because they worship themselves and what they want to do more than they worship the Most High, the Most High gave them up to what?
Vile affections.
What's homosexuality?
A vile affection.
What's the letter, people?
Vile affection.
That's a vile affection. Vile is something that's repulsive. We we know what affection is, but an opposive, loathing, disgusting affection the Most High gave them over to. Read.
For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature.
Even they women, even women now dyke it, strap on in it, carpet munching. Even women are doing this. Now, this is Paul speaking in the New Testament. And remember, we're reading out of the book of Romans. And this book was actually an epistle or a letter that was written to the Israelites that were in Rome. So what was they doing in Rome, in ancient Rome, in the ancient Greco-Roman Empire, which is now in America, the latter end of it? And they still doing it to this very day? What are they doing? Read it again.
For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature.
They not even using their uterus. Because why are they not using it? Because it was designed to have a man penetrate and drop some semen in it so they could procreate. So they're changing their natural use. Read.
And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman.
And men are doing what?
Leaving the natural use of the woman.
Smelling like booty. Going up in men's backsides. Just nasty. It says, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman. What's the natural use of a woman for a man? For him to lay down with her. For them to have relations. Read.
Burned in their lust.
And why are they doing this?
Burned in their lust.
They're burning in their lust. Read.
One towards another.
One towards another. Read.
Men with men.
Men what?
Men with men.
What?
Men with men.
Since I want us to be explicitly clear what Paul is talking about right here. A man with another man. Read.
Working that which is unseemly.
What did the Most High say this was?
Working that which is unseemly.
Unseemly. Can we look it up real quick?
Unseemly. Not proper or appropriate.
He said it's not proper or appropriate to be what? Letter people, homosexual, dykes, gays, femmes, studs, whatever terminology. I got so many of them out there in y'all crazy world of madness. He said it's inappropriate. What else you got for inappropriate? I mean, for unseemly?
Indecorous. Improper.
Improper. What else?
Unbecoming.
Unbecoming of a man.
Unsuitable.
Unsuitable for a man.
Undignified.
Undignified for a woman.
Unrefined.
For a woman.
Unladylike.
Unrefined. It says unladylike?
Unladylike.
No, it don't. You're making that up.
Ungentlemanly.
What? What does that say?
Unladylike.
It's unladylike to be a dyke, to be a lesbian. How's that? You made that up.
Mm-mm.
Wow. Unladylike. Ungentlemanlike. Read.
Disreputable.
What else?
In poor or bad taste.
It's in poor or bad taste to be a homosexual. What else?
Shameful.
It's shameful. Read.
Out of place.
Out of place. Out of place. Because when you ask people that don't agree with it, that they're coming from an unbiblical standpoint, what's the first thing people say? It's unnatural. Something that's unnatural is out of place. Read. Is that it for the definition?
Crass.
That it?
And unworthy, unsuitable.
Unworthy or unsuitable. You're unworthy of the Most High. You're unsuitable of the Most High. Go back to the scripture.
Mm-hmm. Men with men working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves.
Unseemly or ungentlemanlike. Unmanly. And they're receiving in themselves what?
That recompense.
That what?
Recompense.
Recompense is payback. So that, when it says recompense, substitute for monkeypox.
And receiving in themselves that monkeypox of their error.
Of their what?
Of their error.
So homosexuality is a what?
Of their error.
It's an error of your way of thinking. Look it up, y'all. 1973, they declare homosexuality no more a mental illness. 1973. The Board of Psychiatric, whatever they are, they said that homosexuality was no longer a mental illness. And the reason they did that, because of political pressure. It says, receiving in themselves.
Of their error, which was meat.
Their error. Their error. And it tells you, it said the recompense was meat. So the word meat means proper. The word meat means proper. So when the Most High says, and receiving in themselves that recompense or that payback, that monkeypox, that AIDS of their era, which was meat, he's letting you know that their judgment, their punishment for them going off being homosexuals is proper. Whatever you're going through is proper. Whatever you're going through, having to live that lifestyle, whether you're getting shamed, ridicule, whether you're getting your backside blown out so much you got to put maxi pads in your hold because your muscles won't contract like they used to, proper. That's what you're supposed to get because you chose that. You wasn't born that way. No, you were not predisposed to having penises in your mouth. You wasn't predisposed to eating, chopping on a woman. You were not predisposed to that. You were not born that way. You made a decision to be that way. You made an illogical decision to be that way.
Scripture calls it an error.
It's an error. You that is erroneous. You made an erroneous decision. I did have more of y'all on the news, but I'm sorry. I didn't plan on going that far. Anyway, let me take a break real quick. I'm coming right back.
A ballad behind bars, or you could say real rock from the rock, an unusual musical happening in a most unusual place. The state prison...
I got a letter from the government the other day. I opened and read it and said they were suckers. They wanted me for their army or whatever. Picture me giving a damn, I said never. Here's a land that never gave a damn about a brother like me and myself, because they never did. I wasn't with it, but just that very minute it occurred to me the suckers had authority. Cold sweating as I dwell in my cell. How long has it been they got me sitting in a state pen? I gotta get out, but that thought was thought before. I contemplated a plan on the cell floor. I'm not a fugitive on the run, but a brother like me's begun to be another one. Public enemy serving time, they drew the line, y'all. They criticized me for some crime. Nevertheless, they could not understand that I'm a black man and I can never be a veteran. On the strength of situations unreal, I got a raw deal. So I'm looking for the steal. I'm going for that steal.
Word up, G, they tryna put black out of the game by keeping you in there, you know what I'm saying? But they can't keep a good man down.
Got it, got me in the cell.
Hey, yo, Chuck, we got it. Y'all ain't gonna stop me, man.
Got it, got me in the cell. I grabbed his gun and he did what I said so. And every man's a man got.
All right, y'all. Sorry about that. I'm back. So, y'all, that concludes news, current events. I'm switching over now to the class. If it's your first time tuning in, I usually do about an hour, sometimes run a little over, sometimes under, of current events and news, and then I move into the class. So we're transitioning over now, y'all, to the class. Let me get my notes. All right, the class entitled "Let's Stay Together." My cup runs over. This is part three of a series that I'm doing regarding the first thing we went over was adultery, and we're going to dabble back into that. Then the second part was divorce, and the third part, I got to still stay in divorce, y'all, because trying to wrap it up in three installments, but that ain't going to happen. This topic is so extensive, and I've been getting a lot of questions, too, regarding this topic, particularly the topic of divorce, man. A lot of people are very interested in that divorce, man. So I was, honestly, man, because I was moving on and going into the last part and putting that together. And then I went back and looked at some of my notes, and I was like, man, I can't just continue. I have to finish dealing with divorce, man, because there's so much information. And I didn't even get to finish the last part of it. So here we go, y'all. We're going to deal with divorce. And that's why I said my cup runneth over, because, man, there's so much information. I got to bring it out. But so let's go to – where did we leave off last week? Hold on, y'all. So last week we talked about the document of divorce, which is referred to as a get. So we're going to go back into this article that talks about the get, because there was some parts that I didn't get a chance to get to. Here we go. Was it this? Hold on. Oh, because I was asked this question last week. Matter of fact, let's get it out of here real quick. Read this for me. And tell them where you're reading from. And I couldn't remember last week where it was, Mashaba, but you told me. And I found it. I just want to reiterate it for everybody else who may have had the same question that you had, which was, can a wife divorce her husband? You guys. got that? Yeah, read the definition of divorce.
From the Catholic Biblical Encyclopedia, page 282. Divorce, dissolution of the marriage bond. The Mosaic law permitted a man to dismiss his wife on account of something indecent or an odious thing.
Now, we definitely going to get to that. But I want to finish reading the definition of divorce. Read.
That is guilt on the wife's part and demanded that he give her a written bill of divorce.
Mm-hmm.
The husband alone and not the wife.
The husband alone and not the wife, read.
Had the right to dissolve the marriage.
He only had the right to dissolve the marriage, not her. Read.
But he lost this right to dismiss his wife in two instances.
But he lost the privilege to divorce his wife in two situations. Read.
Namely, if he falsely accuses his bride of not being a virgin.
He falsely accused her of not having her chastity, of not being a virgin, which means, because the word definition of virgin means, it has two definitions, a woman of a marriageable age and a woman that has not known a man. All right? So let's get that. It cites the scripture. What scripture are we going to?
Deuteronomy 22.
So let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 22.
13 through 19.
And verse 13. Get that. Hold this. Yeah, just close it like that. And the book toe up. So let's get what he's talking about here. Read that. The scripture, yeah.
And what verse did I say?
Start at verse 13.
Deuteronomy 22, verse 13. If any man take a wife and go in unto her and hate her and give occasions of speech against her and bring up an evil name upon her and say.
So it says if you hate her and you give an occasion of speech against her, you basically talking crap. But what is the crap he's talking, Reed?
And say, I took this woman and when I came to her, I found her not a maid.
Man, she wasn't a virgin in a sense of she had been with another man. Man, she was loose. Man, she wasn't like she was supposed to be. Read.
Then shall the father of the damsel and her mother.
Now listen to this. The dad and the mom, read.
Take and bring forth the tokens of the damsel's virginity unto the elders of the city and the gates.
Now what was the token of her virginity, y'all? How else could you prove that a young woman was a virgin? It's that sheet, the sheet that they laid on. Because remember, last week we went over how you got married in the process of the wedding, if y'all remember that. Okay, let's be thorough. Hold where I got this pen at. Oh, you know what? You can let this go because we need to get to that. All right, so let's go here. So I definitely want to be thorough, y'all, so everybody's understanding, and it won't be no confusion, because this concept, if you've never read or heard about it, this might have you scratching your head. So that's why I want to go to the Zondervan Bible Dictionary and get the definition of wedding one more again. We've read it about 8 times. Here, get that for me. We're going to get the definition of wedding and find out how the wedding was conducted. Because, and this is going hand-in-hand what we read in Deuteronomy chapter 22 and verses 13 through 14. You got the definition for wedding?
Yeah. Marriage customs in the Bible center around the two events of betrothal and wedding. The wedding itself did not include a religious ceremony.
Now skip down and get to the actual wedding part about the nuptial chamber and all that.
And after the exile written contracts were drawn up and sealed. On the day of the wedding.
Now, listen to this part. I want to get to the day of the wedding. Read.
The groom, attended by friends and accompanied by musicians and singers, went to the bride's house. And then, after receiving her from her parents, with their blessing, he conducted the whole party back to his own house.
Mm-hmm. Back to his crib, read.
On the way, other friends of the bride and groom joined the party, and there was much music and dancing.
Mm-hmm.
A feast was held at the bridegroom's house. Later in the evening, the bride's parents escorted her to the nuptial chamber.
Well, later on in the evening, she got escorted to the nuptial chamber, to the groom's bedroom, to the bed, read, where they would do what?
While he was led there by his friends or the bride's parents.
Read.
The next day, the festivities.
So they went to the nuptial chamber. The nuptial chamber where they actually consummated the marriage, y'all. And I was joking around last week talking about the boom boom room, but that's actually what it is. And remember, she was led there by her parents. Now let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 22 and read verse 15 again. Let's piece it together.
Deuteronomy 22 and verse 15. Then shall the father of the damsel and her mother take and bring forth the tokens of the damsel's virginity unto the elders of the city in the gate.
What was the tokens? It was the sheep. Because remember, who took them back? Who took the daughter back there to lay with that man? It was the parents. So the tokens was what they laid on, because that's how you can determine whether or not a young lady was a virgin or not, because when they have intercourse, that, and we loosely refer to it in, I guess, layman's terms, the cherry getting popped. So that stain would be on that sheet, but that would be a proof or a token of her virginity to show that she was, in fact, a virgin. She had never been with a man. We're going to keep reading. All right, read on.
And the damsel's father shall say unto the elder, I gave my daughter unto this man to wife, and he hated her. And lo, he hath given occasions of speech against her, saying, I found not thy daughter a maid. And yet, these are the tokens of my daughter's virginity.
These are the tokens. Look at the sheep. I got the sheep right here. This nigga's lying. Read.
And they shall spread the cloth before the elders of the city.
They gonna spread the what?
The cloth before the elders of the city.
See, I ain't making this up, y'all. And that's why I wanted to get it out of Zonovan so we can get the definition of wedding to see. This is what the parents led the daughter back there for. This is how you actually got married. Now remember, at the very beginning of this, it says, if any man, verse 13, take a wife and go in unto her and hate her. That don't say nothing about walking down the aisle or being at the altar, none of that. Once again, proving that marriage is, in terms of the Bible, sexual relations, man. I hope we get this and we understand this.
This is my question. Should man sleep with a man's woman?
They both? Yeah, but that, no, let's stay on topic. All right, so that's the token that is talking about right there, y'all. I hope everybody is understanding. All right, because I'm glad you got it. Where was we at? Hold on, y'all. We was talking about the divorce.
Yeah.
So read that. Tell me where you read from and read that again.
The Catholic Biblical Encyclopedia. The husband alone and not the wife had the right to dissolve the marriage, but he lost this right to dismiss his wife in two instances. Namely, if he falsely accused his bride of not being a virgin.
Yeah, we just read that. We just read that and broke that down. I hope y'all understood that. Read.
And if he had violated her before marriage.
If he violated her before marriage, meaning if he raped her, if he took it forcefully, that's what it's talking about, to violate her. I hope everybody's understanding this. Read on.
The Deuteronomic law imposed another check upon a hasty divorce by the husband. He could not remarry his dismissed wife if she should marry a second time and should later be free to marry again.
So, no hasty divorces, man. And let me go back to this article now and get this part that I should have read last week.
Sounds like he had to be short.
Yeah, and you remember it had to be a council. You just couldn't do it. So read this right here. Process and exemptions.
From BibleStudyTools.com. Process and exceptions. The Mosaic Law, apparently on the side of the husband, made it as difficult as possible for him to secure a divorce.
So this was not an easy process. Read.
No man could unceremoniously and capriciously dismiss his wife without the semblance of a trial in case one became dissatisfied with his wife.
So it had to be a trial or a counsel that went on, y'all. Now, hold on. I need to find this other part, y'all. Because I had somebody asked me another question. Who would grant the divorce? So let me find that. Yeah, I think it's this one here. Yeah, read that, the document.
From kabob.org, the document. The get is a dated and witnessed document wherein the husband expresses his unqualified intention to divorce his wife and sever all ties with her. The get is written by an expert scribe acting as the husband's agent. Each get is individually tailored to the particular divorcing couple.
So it's individually tailored. It wasn't a blank document or a one-off-fits-all template. Read.
One of the most important rules governing the writing of the get is the requirement that it be written specifically for the husband and wife who will be using it. This precludes the use of form documents.
Yeah, read that.
The transmission. The entire get procedure is performed in front of a Beis Din, a rabbinical court consisting of three rabbis.
That's the part I wanted to get to. So this was done in front of a court. So who was the authority? The authority was the court, and the court being upholding the laws of the Most High in Deuteronomy chapter 24. Read.
Though technically only the presence of the husband, wife, and two witnesses is required to effect the divorce, practically, the get process is so complex that it cannot be done correctly unless done in the presence of experts in the field.
So you had to be an expert of this particular law in that particular field. But it couldn't be just done by the husband. Like the husband just, he wrote up a bill of divorce, say, here, sign this when you wake up in the morning on the side of the bed. And then it was done. No, it had to be done in front of a court. You had to have witnesses. This was a process, y'all. Read.
In fact, rabbinic law automatically invalidates any get which was not written and transmitted in front of experts.
If it was not done the right way, it's null and void. Read.
After the document is written by the scribe, the husband hands it to his wife in the presence of two kosher witnesses. At this point, the marriage has been dissolved, and the Beis Din will give both parties a certificate confirming their new marital status.
So you got a copy of the divorce decree. You got a copy, she got a copy. In case y'all marital status was brought up in a question. I hope everybody's seeing that. And I hope I answer some questions that people had. Now, let's go back to the scriptures now. Because I know certain scriptures people are scratching their head on and don't quite get. So let's go to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, we're going to start at verse 1. And if you have a concordance handy, get it out because you're going to need it.
Mark 10 and 1.
Oh, let me catch up with you. We're going to go here too. So Mark chapter 10 and verse 1. Start verse 1.
And he rose from thence and cometh into the coast of Judea by the farther side of Jordan.
It's talking about Yahushua, Jesus Christ. Read.
And the people resort unto him, saying, resort unto him again. And as he was wont, he taught them again. And
so he was in the midst of teaching. Read.
And the Pharisees came to him and asked him.
So while he's teaching, these Pharisees, who were Christ's biggest opponents back then, biggest naysayers, antichrist, always came against them. In this particular time, they came against them, interrupting him in the middle of him teaching, and said what?
And the Pharisees came to him and asked him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife? Tempting him.
No, it says tempting him, so we have to read it in context. This is a loaded question. Because the one question they already knew the answer to. Read.
And he answered and said unto them, what did Moses command you?
What Moses said. I like how Christ, he answers the question with a question. Because he already knew it was a loaded question. Y'all know the answer to this. What Moses say, man? Read.
And they said, Moses suffered to write a bill of divorcement and to put her away.
Said Moses said to get a heifer, bill of divorce, and put her away. But we want to know what you got to say, Mr. Christ. Niggas, man, niggas. Read on.
And Jesus answered and said unto them.
Now, hold on. Let's not get that part yet. We're going to come back to that. So read verse 4 again.
Verse 4. And they said, Moses suffered to write a bill of divorcement and to put her away.
All right. So let's get some understanding about this. He said to write a bill of divorcement and put her away. Now, listen to what Christ said. He knew the procedure. He knew the right way it's supposed to be done. You got to have that tribunal court, and then the document's got to be drawn up with witnesses. Give that document to the woman. And then send her away. We just read that out of the article, correct? That's the right way to do it. So let's go to the concordance real quick. Well, not real quick. Let's go to concordance. And let's go to page 275. You got it?
Mm-hmm.
What's the highlight? What's the number in that? Should be
G647. H3748.
It's H?
For divorce.
That ain't it. That ain't the right one. I'm looking for G647.
This is divorcement? G647.
Yeah, that's it. So we're in the concordance and we look up divorcement and we get G647. And the G is Greek, y'all. So in the concordance, you'll see the G is Greek. You see a H is Hebrew. We're getting it in the Greek because the New Testament was written in Greek. So now let's go to page 275. Mm-hmm. Same book, 275. Same book, page 275.
This is page 275.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
So
you want me to go to G? 647?
Yeah. Hold on, wait a minute. It's on page 1608. Yeah, page 1608. So we look up the scripture where Christ talking about a divorcement, or where the Pharisees talking about a divorcement, and it's leading us to page 1608, and it's G647. You got to just highlight it.
447.
You on page 1608?
G647.
What does it say?
It says, apostasian neuter of a presumed adjective from the derivative of G868, properly something separative, i.e. specifically divorce, writing of divorcement.
So a writing of divorcement. So when Christ said, in Mark chapter 10, verse 4, and they said, Moses suffered to write a bill of divorcement and to put her away. He's talking about a what? He's talking about a divorce, the actual divorce. Does everybody see that?
And you have another thing highlighted.
Yeah, hold that. Now, let's go back to Mark now. We're going to go back to the book of Mark, and we were in verse 4, but now we're going to read all the way down to verse 12.
That was 5?
Yep.
Okay. And Jesus answered and said unto them, for the hardness of your heart, he wrote you this precept.
So, now Yahushua said, he gave that precept. For the hardness of your heart, read on.
But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife.
Mm-hmm.
And they twain shall be one flesh. So then they are no more twain, but one flesh.
So he's basically saying, it shouldn't have been such a thing as divorce. Read on.
What therefore God has joined together, let not man put asunder.
Read on.
And in the house his disciples asked him again of the same matter. And he saith unto them, whosoever shall put away his wife and marry another committeth adultery against her.
Now that's the part I wanted to get to. So his disciples didn't understand what he was saying, but he told them, he broke it down. Whosoever shall put away his wife and marry another committed adultery against her. So let's get that part first. Give me the concordance. Because some people will believe that if a man divorced his wife, if he divorced his wife and then he got remarried, then they think that that's what it's talking about. They said they'll think that that's adultery, but that is not adultery. We already went over the definition of adultery, and adultery is a man having sex with a married woman. So we got to get some understanding. So let's see what Christ is talking about when he talks about putting your wife away. And I'm sorry, y'all, my notes is kind of jacked up. So let me go back real quick. All right. So it's actually G30 is what I was looking for. So G30. Read that for me. And this is coming from Mark chapter 10 and verse 11. Read that.
Strong's Concordance G630. Apollo from G575 and G3089 to free fully.
To what?
Free fully.
To free fully.
I.e., literally, relieve, release.
To relieve or to release.
Dismiss.
To dismiss. And this, and all of this is coming from the word away. So when he says in verse 11, and he said unto them, whosoever shall put away his wife and marry another. So all this is coming from the word away. Whoever shall put away his wife and marry another committed adultery against her. So what we're trying to figure out now here is, what is Christ talking about? If you put your wife away and then get remarried, is that what he's talking about? That's adultery? But what does it say about the word away in this context that Christ is using it in? Read it again from the top.
Apollo from G575 and G3089, to free fully, i.e., literally, relieve, release.
To release or to free fully.
Dismiss.
To dismiss her. Meaning what? She didn't get the bill of divorce. That's what Yahusha is talking about when he says, and he said unto them, whosoever shall put away his wife and marry another, he didn't. The man didn't go through the proper procedures in the first place. Read.
Or figuratively, let die, pardon, or specifically divorce, let depart, dismiss.
She departed. He dismissed her. Read.
Divorce, forgive, let go, loose, put or send away, release, or set at liberty.
Send her away, set at liberty. So to put her away without doing the proper procedures, that's not the right way of doing things. And he says, and marry another. Marry another what? If you marry another woman that was done the same way, then you commit adultery against her. Because that other, she's a woman also that was put away and wasn't put away the right way. And you get with her and you marry her, but she's still married. Because what is adultery, once again, y'all?
A man sleeping with another man's wife.
Con. That's the only way you can commit adultery. It's not that you went through the proper procedures and you got a bill of divorce. And she got a copy of it, you got a copy of it, and you went on and you married another woman. That's not another woman that didn't have a man, that wasn't tied to no man. Even if she had a divorce also from her other husband, she can now be your wife lawfully. The only way you can commit adultery with this woman is if she wasn't divorced like you got the divorce and she had the piece of paper. Some man put her away. Some nigga put her away and you didn't finish your business with your wife and give her the right bill of divorce and do it the right way. And then you got another woman that wasn't divorced the right way. The only way you could commit adultery. So that's what Christ is talking about right here. So no, it's not unlawful to remarry. It's not unlawful to remarry. Remarrying is not committing adultery. But what had to be in place? The bill of divorce. You couldn't just send her out your house. If you sent her out your house and another dude married her, then yes, she was committing adultery. And that dude was committing adultery also.
Because she still belonged to.
Because she still belongs to that dude. I'm sorry, y'all, that I had to go this way. I hope I ain't confused nobody. But like I said, this class took me places I didn't know it was going to take me. And I want to be clear. I wanted to understand it for myself first so I can present it to y'all. So let's read on in verse 12.
And if a woman shall put away her husband.
Now, if a woman put away her husband. But we just read out of the biblical encyclopedia that a woman couldn't do that. She couldn't get divorced. She couldn't leave her husband. Hold that and hold this, and let's get 1 Corinthians. Chapter 7. Now, I think I read this last week, too. So this is 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and hold on, y'all. I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Verse 11. Verse 10.
Verse 15, 7 and 10?
Mm-hmm.
1 Corinthians 7 and 10. And unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord.
So he said, this ain't coming from me. This is coming from the Lord. Read.
Let not the wife depart from her husband.
Kind. We just read that. Yahushua said the same thing. A wife cannot depart from her husband, meaning what? She can't put her husband away. Read.
But, and if she departs.
That's all I want was verse 10. Matter of fact, read verse 11.
But, and if she departs.
So if she do leave her husband, read.
Let her remain unmarried.
You can't get remarried. That's going to cause a bunch of confusion. And if you do, you're committing adultery. And you're causing the dude that you just got married to commit adultery. Read.
Let her remain unmarried or be reconciled.
Or be what?
Reconciled.
Meaning y'all made up. With who?
To her husband.
You and the hubby made up. So y'all were separated for a period of time. But y'all worked things out. It wasn't no irreconcilable differences. Y'all reconciled. Read.
And let not the husband put away his wife.
Because if a husband puts away his woman, he's committing what?
Adultery.
And he's also making her commit adultery. Because he couldn't just put her away, y'all. He had to have the bill of divorce. And he had to have a copy of it. She had to have a copy of it. It had to be done in front of witnesses, in front of a tribunal court. And then she had to have that document in her hand and go away. Then she could go away. But she had proof that what? I'm divorced. So she couldn't be called an adulteress. I hope everybody's seeing this. I hope it ain't too confusing, y'all. Let's go back to Mark chapter 10, and we're going to read verse 12 again.
Mark chapter 10 and verse 12. And if a woman shall put away her husband and be married to another, she committeth adultery.
So this, if a woman, we just read it in Corinthians, if she puts away her husband, if she leaves, then she and marries some other dude, she's committing adultery. I hope everybody is seeing this. Now let's get Matthew chapter 5. So what I'm doing now, y'all, is I'm going over some of the verses that may be confusing for a lot of people. And I'm just edifying those verses. So Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to start at verse 31. I may run over a little bit with this one, y'all. This is a certain stop point I want to get to.
First one?
Matthew 5 and verse 31.
Matthew 5 and 31. It hath been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement.
Right. And that's lawful. Read.
But I say unto you, that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery.
Now, this sounds very confusing. So let's read it again from the top and get the concordance. So we definitely going to need that.
Matthew 5 and 31. It hath been said, whosoever shall put away his wife.
Put away his wife. So let's go to page 275 in the concordance. I think 275 is going to give you G630.
Which word do you want? Divorced is G630.
Put away. G630, that's it. So now go to page 1608.
Which is what we read.
G630.
Mm-hmm.
We read it already?
Yep.
So read that again.
G630. Apollo from G575 and G3089 to free fully, i.e. literally relieve, release, dismiss, the reflexive depart, or figuratively let die, pardon, or specifically divorce, let depart, dismiss, divorce, forgive, let go.
And once again, this is the definition for away, as is used in Matthew chapter 5. And also Mark chapter 10. So let's read verse 31 again.
Matthew 5 and 31. It has been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement.
So whoever going to put your woman away, make her leave your house, she has to have that bill of divorcement, right? Now let's get into verse 32.
But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife.
So he say unto you, whoever's going to put away his wife, send your wife away without what?
Saving for the cause of.
Because in verse 31, he said, put your wife away. But he also mentioned what in verse 31?
Verse 31, it has been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement.
So in verse 31, he's saying put her away and the bill of divorce, which means what? You did it the right way. You did it the right way. But in verse 32, he says what?
But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication.
He said whoever put away his wife, meaning what? You didn't go through the proper procedure. You just made her get out of your house. So you put away your wife, except for fornication, which we'll get to extensively in a minute. You cause her to do what?
To commit adultery.
Now, what's adultery again? A woman sleeping with another man that's not her husband, or a man being with somebody else's woman. That's adultery. So what is Christ saying here? Yes.
To clarify, you think so? Adultery is a married man sleeping with another man's wife,
mm-hmm.
or
he can be unmarried. It don't matter.
Okay. A man sleeping with another man's wife,
mm-hmm.
or a married woman who already has a husband,
mm-hmm.
who's sleeping with a man other than her husband.
So if a married man, if you're married to this woman, and you say, "All right, get out of my house. I'm not dealing with you no more," that's you putting her away. And she goes and she gets with another dude. She's just committed what?
Adultery.
And the dude that laid down with her, he committed what?
Adultery.
Why did she commit adultery and the dude commit adultery, though?
Because she was never put away the proper way with the bill of divorce.
With the bill of divorcement. So that's what Christ is saying right here in verse 32. Well, let's read on.
Which verse?
We're still in verse 32 after the code, the semicolons.
Okay. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced.
That is what?
Divorced.
Mm-hmm.
Committeth adultery.
Now, this divorce right here is not divorce. This divorce right here is away. And that's why I looked up the definition for away. Because it's, what is it, G630, correct? So go all the way back to page, let me see.
G631.
Go to page.
I'm divorced.
Yeah, go back to page 1608.
Mm-hmm.
And what does it say?
It says it comes from G575.
Are the scriptures listed?
No, it doesn't. So the word divorcement,
mm-hmm.
where it referenced G630, there's G647.
Divorcement,
comes
right?
From divorcement. and there's G630 that means divorce.
What about divorced?
That was G630.
So what scripture is mentioned under divorced?
Matthew 5:32.
That's what we're reading right now. So Matthew 5:32 is under the definition for divorce in the concordance, and it tells you to go where?
It tells you to go to, you mean in the, where in the concordance?
Yes.
It tells you to go to G630.
So now let's go to G630.
Which was that definition.
Read it again.
To relieve, release, dismiss.
So relieve, release, or dismiss. So in Matthew 5:32, Christ is talking about at the end to release or to relieve or dismiss that lady. When you see the word divorce, that word is actually away, put away. Put away. Because you got to think about it. If Christ is saying in verse at the end of verse 32, and whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committed adultery, that goes completely against what he just said in verse 31. In verse 31, he says, it has been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a bill of divorcement. And that's the get. That's Deuteronomy 24:1. That's the proper way of doing it. But now he comes back in verse 32, and I'm just going to skip down to the bottom, to the end. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committed adultery. How can that be when she's got, according to the definition of divorce, she's got a get? She has the document showing where she's divorced at. That wouldn't make sense. But it would make sense if that word divorce was away, because that's the only way she could commit adultery, is if she left without the bill of divorcement and got with another dude. Then she'd be committing adultery. Is everybody seeing this? Are you understanding this? This is why I had to go to the concordance to look it up, y'all, so y'all could follow along so it can make sense. Now, let's go to Deuteronomy 24:1 now. Hold Matthew 5:31. Because if we read it the way it's written, we would say, no, that's a contradictory. That don't make sense. Deuteronomy 24:1.
Deuteronomy 24:1.
Mm-hmm.
When a man hath taken a wife and married her, and it comes to pass that she find no favor in his eyes, because he has found some uncleanness in her, then let him write her a bill of divorcement.
Let him write a bill of divorcement. Read.
And give it in her hand.
This is the process. We just read it. The get. She's got the document that's stating she's divorced. Read.
And send her out of his house.
Now you can send her out. Read.
And when she is departed out of his house, she may go and be another man's wife.
But, oh, she could remarry? Is that what you mean? She can remarry.
Mm-hmm.
She can remarry. Let's see if he said she's going to get stoned or she committed adultery. Read.
Verse 3.
Yeah.
And if the latter husband hate her and write her a bill of divorcement and give it in her hand and sendeth her out of his house, or if the latter husband die, which took her to be his wife, her former husband, which sent her away, may not take her again to be his wife.
Did it say anything about adultery, though? Did it mention anything about her getting stoned? From verse 2, when it says, and when she is departed out of his house, she may go and be another man's wife. It didn't say she was committing adultery. But let's go back to Matthew now, chapter 5, and let's read verse 32 again. Because Christ said, if we read it and take it for face value without doing research, Christ saying the opposite of what Moses said.
Matthew 5:32.
Mm-hmm.
But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causes her to commit adultery.
Now this is the part I want to get to. Read.
And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced, committeth adultery.
According to, if we read it, take it for face value, if this woman is divorced with a proper document in her hand and she marry another dude, she's committing adultery. But we know that's not so. So that word divorce right there is putting away. If you put your woman away and you don't give her that bill of divorcement, yes, you're going to force her to commit adultery and the dude that she gets with. I hope everybody's understanding this, y'all. Now let's get Matthew chapter 19. And we're going to start at verse 10. So Matthew chapter 19 and verse 10, read.
Matthew 19 and 10. His disciples say unto him, if the case of the man be so with his wife.
Now this is the same story that we just read a little bit in Matthew, because we just came from Matthew what, chapter 5?
Mm-hmm.
So this is another instance, because Christ explained to his disciples the same thing in this chapter, the same thing he explained in chapter 5. So they're asking him about this situation again. Matter of fact, read verse 9.
Mm-hmm. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery.
Now stop. I'm glad I read this verse. Because this verse actually breaks down what we just read, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 32. It's the same thing. Read it again.
This is Matthew 19 and 9. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her which is put away, thus commit adultery.
Bam. Man, you know, sometimes I can be too smart that I'm dumb. Give me that. And I say this, y'all, because honestly, we didn't even have to go to the concordance. We could have came straight here. My bad. This verse is actually breaking down what we just read in Matthew. Matter of fact, hold this, and let's go back to Matthew chapter 5 now. Matthew chapter 5, and read verse 32 again.
Matthew 5 and 32. But I say unto you, that whosoever shall put away his wife.
Matter of fact, start at verse 31.
Matthew 5 and 31. It hath been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement.
Read.
I say unto you, that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causes her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced, committeth adultery.
Now, let's go to Matthew chapter 19 and start at verse 8.
He saith unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffered you to put away your wife. But from the beginning, it was not so.
Y'all see how this is the same story? He's going over the same topic. Read.
Verse 9. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication.
Now we're reading Matthew chapter 5 and verse 32 all over again, but he breaks it down for us so where we can understand it. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication. Read.
And shall marry another, committeth adultery.
Read. And so, hold up. He said, whoever put away his wife and marry another, meaning he just put her away. There was no bill of divorcement. He just told her to get out. And shall marry another. Another is another woman that was put away like he did his woman. She didn't get the bill of divorcement. And he laid down with her. Read, he committed adultery. So So he committed adultery because he's with a woman that was put away that didn't have a bill of divorcement. Now, this is the part I want to get to. Read.
We're going to pick up that in the middle.
At the end, right at the end.
And whoso marrieth her, which is put away.
Whoso what?
Whoso marrieth her, which is put away.
Now, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 32, it said divorced. But here in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 9, it says put away. And whoso marry her, which is put away, read.
Doth commit adultery.
Doth commit adultery. Y'all see this? I hope y'all seeing this. That Matthew chapter 5, verse 32, is the same as Matthew chapter 19, verse 9. He's just breaking it down in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 9. Because in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 32, he says, and I'm at the end of the precept, whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committed adultery. Well, in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 9, at the end of the precept, he said, and whosoever married her which is put away doth commit adultery. So he's not talking about if she has the document in her hand and she's been put away. He's talking about if she's just been put away. Then whoever get with her commits adultery, and she commits adultery.
And that's why the emphasis on except it be for fornication, because if it had been fornication, they would have gone through the proper procedures and gotten the document.
No, but we definitely going to get to the fornication part next Tuesday, Lord willing, y'all.
Okay.
So on that, y'all, I hope everybody got some edification out of the class. If you didn't, please shoot me your questions like you've been doing, and I appreciate y'all listening in. Mashaba Tawada for hooking up the broadcast. And until then, y'all, tell a friend to tell a friend to please tune in to Talk the Pod
Tuesday.
Talk the Pod
Tuesday.
Talk the Pod
Tuesday.
Every
Tuesday.
Shalom, y'all.